The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us this morning as we have assembled together in God's house. Welcome each one out. It's nice to see all of you. It's cold outside, it's warm inside. We have warm fellowship, and we are grateful that we can assemble this way. Might you have come prayerfully, and those of you that are guests, you're more than welcome to attend these services. I want to open with a scripture found in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. There Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Thus far, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Let us unite in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your goodness, Father. We thank you for our restful night, for the country that we live in, the peace that we still can have and there's no war. We thank you for our government and we pray for our government leaders. We pray for our leaders of our town, our mayor. We pray for our school division, Garden Valley, the teachers that teach our children and grandchildren. Pray also for our care homes, the hospitals, the doctors, the nurses, our elderly people, those are that are confined in their homes of loneliness. Father, might you be near to them. We ask your blessing upon the spoken word, and that we, as those people that have your word, those that are born again, might teach, preach, and tell the story of a new life in Jesus Christ. Might this message be something that might edify you alone, and might you get all the honor and glory, for we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. This time we'll have two congregational songs.
From the Red Hymn Book, 353, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. 353.
I come to Jesus full of sin. <coughs> 191.
What a wonderful hymn. He has washed my sins away. I think we could all say amen to that, right? There's only one source. There's only one man that lived on the face of earth. He died for our sin. That's the only one that can wash our sins away. And that is Jesus Christ. And that's really what the Apostle Paul in our opening verses said to Timothy. Young Timothy was a young man in his ministry, starting off, and Paul said this to young Timothy. And I think it's very good. He admonished him. When you look at verse chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he talks about the end time, the characters of the end time. He warns young Timothy, beware that there will be some people with these behaviors and these characters, reprobate concerning the faith. But then he says in chapter 4, the opening verses that I said, Paul, I charge thee before, therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. You know, God has a kingdom that will stand. The world's kingdom won't stand, but God's kingdom will. He says, at the appearing of his kingdom, and Paul says to young Timothy, brother, preach the word. Don't preach yourself. Don't preach anything else but the word. That is truth. He says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Said to a young pastor starting off in his ministry. That's good advice. Nothing wrong with advice like that, because that is solid teaching. And that would be my desire. That's what we do too. And that's what I want to do this morning. He says, there will come a time people will ask people to speak that have itching ears. Have you ever itched your ear? It's very comfortable, isn't it? Smacklich. He says, that will happen. Do you understand what he's really relating to? He's relating to an ear and the itching of it, but really what he's relating to is an inner man will think it's quite something to have somebody speak something that you want to hear. Is that why you came? You want to hear something that just makes you feel good? Or you want to hear something what the Bible has to say? There's a big difference. Because the Bible says we are to crucify our flesh. Thus far for the opening. If you will have turned, or if you will have taken a bulletin this morning, I think it's still in the bulletin, it was last week anyhow, you will find that the church is offering catechism classes at the beginning of February sometime. Take a bulletin, read it. Those of you that want to join church, be baptized, make a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just want to be clear. This message was somewhat put together because of that. I thought we needed to have an entry message. I'm not saying that there aren't different messages, but a message explaining what this is all about, being baptized. It's not for getting married. It's not for anything else. It's not for attending a church or being in a church that, oh, now I'm in a Zusammenfelder. Now I'm saved. Far from it. That's not preaching the Word of God. That's not teaching the Word of God. So out of that, I basically took the topic to speak on what I did. First of all, of how to be born again or to be born again. And secondly, when you're born again, you belong to a church of God and you have a responsibility. Do you know that the Old Testament law, if you did not follow the law, there was consequences of stoning? In the New Testament, when you're born again, you don't get stoned. You are forgiven if you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, but there are consequences, which you and I can't choose, that God does. There's consequences of sin. You can be forgiven. You will be forgiven if you go to Jesus, but there are consequences that you and I don't look after, that God does. I'll use an example. A person that is an alcoholic, for instance. We seemingly pick on that type of people, sorry, but that's the best one I have, I guess. A person that's an alcoholic, he can be forgiven, but maybe he damaged his liver. So the consequence is he might die a little premature before his time. So it is. Many other things. Smoking, many other things could relate to the same thing. But we can be forgiven, and we will be forgiven. We will be forgiven. But there are consequences. So I want to this morning, in the first part of my message, turn to the terms where Jesus says you must be born again. In low German we say, du musst wahre Geburt sein. In high German, ihr müsst von neuem geboren werden. Those are three different languages stating the same thing. And without that, there is no entry into heaven. Period. That's what the Bible teaches. Preaching the word in truth, that's what it says. In Matthew chapter 7, just so we have a little introduction to this message as to what God says about people in general, he says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Okay? Jesus himself teaches about two roads to eternity. One is the wide one, leads to everlasting damnation. The devil is the leader, we could say, and he's in lies, deceit, and murder, and whatever. Flesh. The narrow road is where Jesus is on. There he's paid the price. He has forgiven his people. They enter into a glorious heaven prepared for God. They are on this earth, like Hebrews 11 says, they are pilgrims and strangers. They seek a heavenly city whose builder and maker is God. You know, the Bible, and I've preached about this before, the Bible has it very clear that only in this world now, there's only two kingdoms. And in the Garden of Eden, when God made Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden, there was only one kingdom, that was the kingdom of God. We read in 1 2 Timothy 4:1, that in the coming of his kingdom, you know, that kingdom that he started in the Garden of Eden, he will end off with his people, his church, and his saints. But in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve fell into sin, they were removed from the garden and the second kingdom started. And that was the kingdom of this world. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. There's a distinctive separation from a person living in this world. He might be in the world, but not of this world, or a person in the kingdom of God. The people of the kingdom of God, they have a story to tell. They have somebody to share, which is Jesus Christ. And that's important to them. The other things are minor, but they're pilgrims and strangers. So there's two kingdoms, the kingdom of this world and the kingdom of heaven. And we have to decipher as believers, which one are we serving or what are we doing in serving that or that? That's where 1 John 4, 1 says, I think it's 1 or is it verse 2, prove the spirits, whether they be of God. We need the proving of the Spirit more than ever before in the time we're living in. Is it shady? Is it truth? Does it have to do with murder? Is it unjust? God is truth, and that's what we need. The new life in Jesus Christ was explained well to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. A ruler of the Jews came to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he kind of flattered Jesus, and he says to Jesus, no one can do these miracles that you do. The Trophnish, Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to Jesus by night. And Jesus talked to him and said, you must be born again, regardless of who I am and who you think I am. Except a man be born again, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about his kingdom that he came to build within the spiritual people called the church. He says, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's his kingdom, which is on the narrow road, not on the broad road, referring to his kingdom. And Nicodemus, being who he was well-educated. And Jesus told him that you're a well-educated man. You're ruler of the Jews. You don't understand this concept of being born again. And he tried to explain it to him. You have to be born again. He said, what's this? You mean to say I have to enter into my mother's womb and then be born again when I'm born once more? And Jesus seemingly couldn't otherwise answer it but to say, you know, it's like the wind. You can feel it, that it cools you, it does something, and that's how the new birth, it makes a change. It's a spiritual change in a person's heart. From the kingdom of this world, according to Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23. That's our sinful condition that we inherited. We kind of inherited from Adam and Eve. We did. You know, I sometimes say that if you have a child or a grandchild, and that grandchild stands in a high chair, how do you make it sit down? You know, if it stands, it might fall and hurt itself, right? So as a parent or grandparent, you would want it to sit. Well, because you're stronger, you can push the adult down, and then it sits. But inside, it might stand. You get it? You're much better off trying to persuade the grandchild to sit down because it might fall if it understands. And so we as Christians need to submit our will, our inner being, to the kingdom of God and be born again through the Spirit. Crucify, Paul says, crucify ourselves. This is the new life in Jesus Christ that he talked about in Matthew 7, 13, and 14. We are transferred from the broad road unto the narrow road. We are all sinners. That's what we inherited. You do not have to, what I wanted to make a point is this. You do not have to tell a young child how to sin. Ever noticed? We have inherited, you don't have to teach a child, now you sin. That they do automatically. That's how we have inherited it. It's part of us. It has it within them. So that's our fleshly nature that we're born with because of Adam and Eve. Then going back to John chapter 3 about Nicodemus, we have the familiar verses that in verse 15 it says that whosoever believeth in him, still the same chapter, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. This born again that he talked to Nicodemus says, you needn't be perished. You don't need to go, in other words, to hell, but that you have eternal life. You're transferred into a different kingdom by the rebirth. Verse 16, for God himself loved the world so much that he gave Jesus his son, and whoever puts their faith and belief in him needn't perish, shouldn't perish, but have everlasting life. See? It's a part of faith. We accept what God did for us. You are forgiven and you have to forgive yourself. That's another point. Verse 17 indicates to us that God didn't send his son into the world to make condemn people. That was not his purpose, but rather to save. We know the scribes and Pharisees, they were out to condemn people. They said, we caught a woman in adultery. Jesus never, never supported the sin. But he says, whosoever is without sin, you can cast your first stone. And nobody did. He didn't come to support sin. He died for the sin. He did not come to condemn, but to save. That's a good example. He says, condemnation is come into the world, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So Jesus was the light. And light exposes darkness, and he says, spiritually wise, if you come to the point that you see sin in your life, you have to deal with it. Light starts shining in, and then the darkness has to go if you repent of it. That's what he's pointing out in John chapter 3. That's the purpose of Jesus' saving grace. I'm reminded of what John Newfield once said on Back to the Bible. He said he had been in a coffee culture or someplace, and he had been studying his Bible or something. I'm not sure. Yeah, I think he was reading his Bible. And some lady came to him and said, John, you look to be a pastor. And John says, well, how does a pastor look? Tell me how he looks. And they started the conversation, and this lady had said, you know, at one point I was a believer too. Really? John says, you were a believer. You believed? Yes. Did you ever think that you were a sinful person? The lady says, no, I never thought I was a sinful person. Well, then John Neufeld had said to the lady, I can't help you. You must remember, step number one, to be born again, you have to see your sin condition. You know, that's not a common thing in this world. Maybe it is to you, but in this world, to talk about repentance and sin, that is really not very popular in these days. But that's the first step of getting off of that kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven, to be born again. John said, I can't help you. You must acknowledge that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:33 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we, as humans, were to get what we deserve, it would be hell. Wages of sin is death. Death refers to hell, separation from God. But he says God's gift to us, Jesus, according to John 3 also, is his gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, not through something else, but only through Jesus Christ. That lines up very well with John 14, verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. There is only one way to heaven. It's through Jesus. When you stand before the gates of heaven, what would make you have entry into heaven? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. If you're going to say that, well, I was a good person, or I joined the church and I did this, that won't cut it. Jesus is very clear. The only way access into heaven is through Jesus, and that's why we can prove all religions under that microscope. That doesn't even take a microscope, but under that. The truth is, everybody must be saved through Jesus. Beside that, there is no forgiveness. Jesus is the only one. And we need, number one, we need a step of forgiveness. And then we get the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 talks about, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. God's gift to us, that he sent Jesus. We are saved through faith. This is a part of faith. We can't boast about it. And verse 10 says the result of it is, like I talked about, if we live in the time of grace, which we do, not under the law, then we want to do what Jesus asks us to do. We are not stoned for our wrongs, like under the law. We are saved by grace, and we have a desire to follow him. That draws us. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That's all he expects. Jesus says, that's all I expect. I don't expect perfect people. He says, there are none. I often think of it. God has only imperfect people to work with. Have you ever thought of it? Tell me one person that's perfect. The first thing that he sees on people is their imperfection. They should have a desire to be perfect. Goals in our life. Why not for 100%? Be as Jesus. Followers of Jesus. That is all true. That's all fact that the Bible teaches. But he only has people that are imperfect. When you just look at the world, in any aspect of the world, of that kingdom, we destroy ourselves. Who are we going to blame for what? You tell me. Who are we going to blame for the 2 years that we've been into? Who are we going to blame? God? No. So people do it to themselves. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden did it to themselves. God said you didn't, but just leave that one tree. You've got everything, just leave that one tree. Just listen to what God had to say, and they would have been fine. No. They wanted to be as wise as Satan, and they were deceived. We are no different. We are often being deceived. And the Apostle Paul had to tell Timothy, he had to write to the Galatians, be not deceived, be not deceived. Jesus himself said in Matthew 24, when they asked for his return, he says about four or five times in Matthew 24, be not deceived. People, be not deceived. It's my same message. Preach the word, be not deceived. Preach the word, teach the word, tell the word. Teach your children. That's the only way. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we read, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's moved from one kingdom of this world into the kingdom of heaven. He says, if that person is in Christ, he's born again. He's admitted that he was a sinner. He needed Jesus, the help of Jesus. He needed the cleansing blood of Jesus. He's transferred from the wide road to the narrow road, from the one kingdom to another. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He says, the old things that were are passed away. That's exactly what Jesus told the woman that had the seven husbands. He says, go and sin no more. They are passed away. He says, behold, all things are become new. Everything has become new in such a person. A new desire, a new road, the narrow road, an eternal goal of heaven. See? That makes Christians. Those make born-again believers. So I guess the question we would have this morning is, who is on that narrow road? Are you? Even if you're baptized sometime. Does not make you qualify. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in faith? The finished work of the cross and the resurrection and what Jesus did for you personally. Especially those that are maybe anticipating baptism. Have it clear. This is a very important choice. Have it clear that you want the new life in Jesus Christ, and if you don't have a clear, ask one of the pastors to counsel you through. It is worth to have it totally clear. To be born again from a new spirit is the inner desire and dealing with sin and by grace being saved through Jesus Christ. It's not knowing the catechism off by heart, doing the right thing, joining the right thing. That's not it. Those can all be choices that you make, conscientiously important, but that's not the idea. The idea of being born again is to transfer ourselves to the loving God who sent Jesus. And that makes us a part of the body of Christ that I want to talk about in the second part of my message. Then we belong to the body of Christ, and then we are on the kingdom of God. And you know what it says? Nothing shall separate. Romans 8 says nothing shall separate these people. Come what may, we've seen two years of challenges. Come what may, nothing shall separate us from the love of God, according to Romans 8. Not persecution, not anything. The love of God is stronger. He's almighty. He sits on the throne. Not our nation's leaders. God sits on the throne. It's a very little thing to change everything. Do you believe it? I do. With that, I have a prayer request. I'll read the prayer request as it was given to me. A prayer request for Justina Dick. She's coping with stage 4 cancer. So let's pray for Justina Dick coping with stage 4 cancer. Whatever is upon your heart, those that are able, are healthy, please kneel with me in a silent word of prayer. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Take our blue book and turn to 166, The Love of God. 166, let's all stand.
Thank you for that hearty singing. The love of God. Just to start off with a little continuation of where we left off, is that moving into this kingdom from the world into the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is to be born again. And with that, we have, like I said before, we have something to share. If we are excited about something, don't tell me you don't share it with somebody. That's not fact. If you bought yourself a new vehicle, you might want to share it with somebody, maybe your wife. If you bought yourself a piece of land, whatever. We get excited about material things. How would we not get excited about spiritual things that we made a great change and we are now not bound and destined for hell, we're bound for heaven? That doesn't get excited? Then there's something wrong with the equation. Doesn't match up. You grandparents, I'm seeing some of your grandparents, if you have a grandchild, you agree between the two of you, you're not going to share it with anybody, well, we won't see any. That's not fact. What we get excited about, we share. And thus, if we get excited about Jesus being our master, we share it with others. It should be our daily conversation about the Bible and who our master is. That should be our testimony. Sometimes we talk about young people being baptized, having a testimony. How about we older people? Do we have a testimony? And do we share our testimony? What is our story of our testimony? Paul told Timothy, preach the word. It goes for all of us. Maybe we're not all preachers and teachers, but in some form we can convey a message of change, of who is real and what counts for this life. That brings us to the point, if we are baptized, then we belong to a family of God. Actually, I should say when we're born again, we belong to a family of God, not baptized. When we are born again, we belong to a family of God called Christians that are bound to heaven. It's not what I say. The Bible says. You have this assurance that if you're in Christ Jesus, you're a new creature, Jesus takes care of you. There's different verses that I don't have time to refer to. Gives us the assurance. Having said that, we want to see where does the church, where do you as a part, let's say you're baptized and you're a believer. What's your obligation? Have you got a commitment to Jesus Christ? You know, a lot of men that have started this church, they had a commitment. And even if things were shaky and rocky, they didn't jump the train. That's why we're here today. Because these founders of the church, these people, we don't build on them, don't get me wrong, but they were consistent that there might be struggles, but we're not getting off. Jesus is our master. And we have a mission to do. We are committed, and we need commitment more than ever before. Would you agree? We need respect. And commitment is lacking in all facets of life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll use one verse and then relate to the one verse. Paul the apostle wrote to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than with that which is laid, Jesus Christ. Our opening verses were, preach the word. The word of God is around Jesus Christ. Here we find Paul says to the Corinthians, don't build any other foundation than that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ alone saving us. He's the foundation of the church. In verse 10, he addresses that he is a wise master builder. For many years, I thought to myself, Paul, that's quite boastful. To say a wise master builder. But you know, when I read it and I read it, all of a sudden I caught it. It is right what he says. He says, according to the grace of God. He's a wise master. He never said that according to Paul. according to the grace of God. He gives God all the honor and glory, and he says, according to the grace of God, I am a wise master builder. See? He could win many people with the first words of that verse, according to the grace of God. He was a wise master builder. He says, I have laid the foundation, another cometh and buildeth thereupon, but take heed how you build thereon. See, he gives admission. How do you build on this foundation? It's one thing to have a very good foundation, but you still have to have a good structure on your foundation. He says, be careful how you build upon. And he's referring to this as a spiritual entity called the church. And when you look at the first nine, ten verses of the same chapter, you find Paul scolding the Corinthians of being babes in Christ and not meat, because they were building on people. See? They were off. And if they can be off at that time, we can be off today. And what I'm saying is deceived. Off or deceived is somewhat the same thing. And they were so deceived, Paul says, I'm coming to you, Corinthians, again and again, and I find you are still on milk where you started and not on meat. That's in verse 2. You can't bear the meat. It's like a child. When it gets into this world, it's on milk. You don't feed it meat. It would never be able to digest it. He says that's how it is with the young Christians that have been born again. If you just stay on milk, you'll never be able to take meat. But he says that's where you're at, Corinthians. And he says that's why that you are carnal. There's envying and strife among you. You walk as men. You're building on a wrong foundation. It goes out to us today as well. If you want to build on a wrong foundation, build on people. They're here today, gone tomorrow. And that's what Paul scolds the Corinthians about. He says there is carnal people walking among you people. And he said, talks about some people that planted, others that watered. He says, but who gave the increase? It was God. It's not that they didn't do anything. They did. But they shouldn't get the credit. It's not building on the true foundation of Jesus Christ. Preach the word means the Bible, the foundational truths of the Bible, from cover to cover, not omitting anything from cover to cover. In Matthew chapter 16, those of you that have your Bibles with you, Matthew chapter 16, in verse 13, Jesus asks his disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a good question. He was probing the disciples, tell me, who do people say that I am? Verse 16 says, and Simon Peter, the one that betrayed Jesus, denied him three times, answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. See? You know, Peter scored very high. In fact, he made it 100% in that answer. Would you believe it? Before Jesus, he made a good score in those terms. Verse 17 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, to Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You got spiritual discernment in answering that, and that is correct. The truth and the basis of God's word and the church is Jesus Christ. The foundational truths, that's where we build upon. If you're born again, you belong to the church of God, and these are the basic truths that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone that in different references refer to. In Matthew chapter 7, it talks about the foundations and how they can be different. People often say they have a foundation, but it's pretty shaky. People often say, well, that's what the Holy Spirit told me. It doesn't line up with the Bible. Is that a foundational truth? They say, well, I prayed about it, and this is what God led me to, but it's contrary to the scriptures. Can't be right. Can't be true. The Holy Spirit wrote the Bible, and if they have a different interpretation that doesn't line up with the Bible, that can't be truth. Here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 27, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doth them, I will liken unto him as a wise man which built his house upon the rock. Referring to Jesus Christ, something solid, the foundational truth of the Bible. It says the challenges of life came, the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. What we say is this, to add to this there, that is just written about this wise man, he was not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. That's what James also says. Bill Nickel talked about this in the first service. Not just a person that says something, but does it. Like I said before, the people of the Old Testament law, they got stoned or punished. We, by grace, we have a desire to do that. We are not only hearers, but doers of the word. We have a master. We submit. The contrary is also true of the other that built his house upon the sand. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you understand in this passage of Scripture, the one that built on the rock had the same challenges of life according to the storms of life, and we all know what storms of life are, do you? Or are things always going well for you? Some people are shaking their heads. Life has its challenges. That's storms of life. That's what he's referring to. The rains descending, the floods coming around us and trying to bring us down. He says they were the same for the one on the rock and on the one that built on the rock and the one that built on the sand, the wise and the foolish. But the one that built upon the rock, he had a foundational truth that carried him through. And there was no damage done, but the foolish had damage. It's like the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. But when it came to crunch point, when Jesus wanted to, at midnight, made out a cry, the foolish that played along, had built upon a sand, were not ready and did not get in. They built upon the sand. The storms of life, the trials, they will come, have come. Paul gave admission to building upon the true foundation, and he says to the Galatians very strong words. He says, who has come along? In Galatians 1, that has bewitched you. That's who's bewitched you, he says to a group of people, that you have come across a new doctrine of foundational truths. And he says, even if you say that it's an angel from heaven telling you this, this foundation, he says, it's not fact. There is but one truth. And then he says in Galatians 1, and I don't have it from myself, neither has somebody taught it to me. I have it from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So if the people of the days of Galatia could be deceived by some coming in, so can we. Let's make sure that the foundational truths always stand, which is the word of God, and preach it. And so we find in chapter in Peter, in 2 Peter 2, we also find, I won't read those verses, I'll just turn there and make maybe a couple of comments. And in 2 Peter 2, it would help if I turned to 2 Peter instead of 1 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we find of Peter talking about heresies, teachers, damnable heresies, and read it for yourself. Read the whole chapter, in fact. Talks about the days of Noah, people being deceived, how wicked they were. And God will not live with that. He doesn't have to and will not. He talks about the ass that spoke to this prophet and so on. In chapter 3, he talks about scoffers. People, wake up. These are things that we have to remember can come upon us if we don't build. If we think that we're going to go to Winnipeg this afternoon, it's glare ice, and we think we can go full speed, don't be fooled. You might hit the ditch. I would advise you not even to go half speed. But admonishment is always good, that we stay on the truth of the Bible regardless of what others think. You know, the FBI in America does not study counterfeit. It studies the genuine. Because when a counterfeit comes over, then they know it's counterfeit. They can see it. They've studied the genuine. Let's be people that study the genuine, the Word of God, the genuine. And when a counterfeit comes over, then we know it's counterfeit. It's not what the Bible says. Just a couple of words. As we have basically closed the year of 2021, started a new year, we're, what is it today, 20th? Whatever. We're moving right along, aren't we? Starting a new year of 2022. We have seen 2 years of challenges. No argument of that. Trying. We have seen challenges in government. We have seen challenges in the medical field. We've seen challenges in the care homes of where our people are in. We've seen challenges in the education system. We've seen challenges in church and family. And basically every sector of society has been affected by these challenges of the pandemic. And there is no argument, this has often caused divisions. And if you are part of a division that you have caused, I would say repent. We are circumcised or uncircumcised, we are all equal in the sight of God. We don't make divisions. We don't do like the Germans did. On top of some doors of buildings, they said, no Jews allowed inside. That's discrimination. We don't practice that as Christians. The Bible teaches that differently. And so we have to act upon the Bible on these challenges. And I can guarantee you, COVID or not COVID, vaccinated or not vaccinated, you will not live one day past your, not 1 hour past your appointed time. That doesn't make everything nothing. That doesn't make tell me that I don't believe in COVID, that it's not real. But what we have to hinge on is that God is the initiation from your life before you were born and also your death. That's the point. So what are we trusting, or whom are we trusting? Are we trusting for answers in our government, in our doctors, in our vaccines, in our pills, in church leadership, in our bishop or in ministerial? Where's our answer? The answer is in here. Keep trusting. You can't go wrong. Trust to God and His Son, Jesus. God's word says we are more than conquerors. God's agenda for prophecy is here. And that is like a puzzle. Don't believe for 1 minute that the world is falling apart. God is putting the pieces together. Look at it that way. God is putting the pieces together. And if that puzzle has 1,000 pieces, don't you think that there is one missing? He's just about ready to put the last couple of pieces into there. And that excites me. That this narrow road that we're talking about, God is going to put all pieces together, not people. And He's on the throne. The world is not falling apart. That is 100%. I heard of a story where an individual went to buy a barometer. You all know what a barometer is? It's an instrument. It shows you the coming weather patterns. It's like listening to the forecast. And now this barometer was an expensive thing, and he took it home, and as he took it home, it was standing on a hurricane. And he was getting upset. He shook it, and what's this? And it still kept on hurricane. He was getting so upset at it. He says, you know what I'll do? I'll write a letter to the company that sold me this barometer. And he did. He wrote a letter to the barometer, and he says, you're selling an expensive barometer that doesn't work. What is it? That's a natural tendency that we do, eh? We didn't get a good deal for what we thought. Well, he went away for a couple of days, and then he came back. And you know what he found? Not just was the barometer gone, his whole house was gone. Now, here's this thing. We better believe what the Bible has to say of prophecy, regardless of what you think or I think. There is an agenda, and the pandemic has an agenda in the reading of the barometer of God's word. To me, there is absolutely no question. God doesn't allow things or do things for the sake of nothing. He has an agenda, but he still loves you and loves me, but he has an agenda. Just the barometer is not correct if he had only listened to it. And likewise, God's barometer is 100%. Let's, in the new year, let's shoot high of expectations. I don't know if you've made any New Year's resolution. Maybe you've broken them already. I don't know. Maybe you wanted to lose some weight. I don't know. Most of the time, they tell me that New Year's resolutions are broken by the 15th of January. Have you made any spiritual resolutions? That would be a good one, wouldn't it? Please don't break those. If they are healthy, spiritual resolution, don't break those. God answers prayer. It was just brought to my mind here, and I'll relate this to you. This week, we had something happen in our house. We have a neighbor there. He's 93 years old, and his girls live in Winnipeg, four of them, and four boys live in Calgary. He attends this church if he can, but he hasn't for many years. So Martha and myself, no feather in the hat. We don't want to focus on what. I just want to focus by the grace of God what God did. We find that the healthcare workers can't get in, the home care workers can't get into the house. So through texting, I offered I'd go there. And I tried to go, and the door was locked, and it was dark outside, and I knocked on the window. I couldn't get in. We came home, and the two of us decided we would kneel and pray about praying for our government with everything that's happening, and we would pray for the situation there, our neighbor, Mr. Ginter. And as we stood up, the phone rang. This is not coincident, people. This is not coincident. You can't tell me that. The phone rang, and it was their daughter from Winnipeg said, we got Dad on the phone. He's all right. God answered prayer. You know what my weakness was? When she phoned, I never told her that we had prayed. That I have to tell her someday, because otherwise the story isn't finished. That's how God works in any difficult situation. The door was open. He opened the door, and life carried on. Don't take it that I want to have any. It just shows us that we have a story to tell, and it's real. God is on the throne in the smallest things. Let us conclude in a word of prayer. Our gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of the service. We thank you for who you are, the love that you have, and that you are willing to send Jesus Christ, a sacrificial gift of the best gift you have from heaven, to redeem a fallen humanity that is evil in nature. Father, we as a country, we as a land, we have sinned. And we can't but others say, repent and say we're sorry that things are going the way they are. And if it's in our own personal lives. And if it's in our leadership, we pray for them. We pray that things might go according to your will. Then we will be in the best of state. Help us to be praying people, Christians building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, there is no other foundation. Jesus asked his disciples, "Will you also leave me?" And his disciples replied, "Where should we go? You have words of truth." We admit, in the time that we're living in, you have words of truth. And we in faith want to embrace that and say that in spite of difficulty, we don't want to leave you. We want to embrace you. For the prophecy of your coming is nearer than it ever was before. Yesterday is gone. Today is go on its way. And we really don't know if we'll live till tomorrow. These are truths found in the Bible. And it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. Our eternal goal should always be in our hearts and minds. Bless this message to the honor and glory of you alone. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. And now, for those that can, please kneel with me in a silent word of prayer. The Lord, hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
Let's take our blue handles and turn to page 110, Sweet Hour of Prayer. Page 110. All my
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Abe, for sharing and presenting the word of truth to us. Thank you. A couple of announcements. As Abe alluded to, we're starting baptism classes on February 1st at 7:30 p.m. We strongly encourage all those that are contemplating baptism to take part in these classes. Also, Sunday school, we have all our teaching positions filled, praise the Lord. We do need a few teachers to be on a sub-list, and we are also looking for helpers for a couple of special needs students. If you feel led to help in either of these roles, please contact either Isaac Unruh or Abe Teichrobe. And they are also looking for a male volunteer for Sunday school program committee. So they wanted, the men to think about filling these positions. Also, the ladies' fellowship, Lord willing, is starting up again on January 25th from 10 to 4 and 7 to 9. Come, cut, and sew, all are welcome. Male and female, bring a lunch, let's fellowship together. Thank you.
I made a mistake, would you believe it? Yes, I did. I make more. I've made a lot. I was notified that I had a prayer request for Justina Dick, coping with stage 4 cancer. There's another prayer request. Please take it home. Anna Penner. I'll read it as it is in the bulletin. I believe this is in the bulletin. No, it's not? Oh, no. Okay. Anna Penner is asking for prayer support. She came home a few days ago from a three-week stay in the hospital. She is in constant pain and has been coping with infections for 3 months now. She is weak and tired and asks us to pray for strength and healing. If that is not meant to be, she would love to go home to be with her Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's for Anna Penner. Pray for her and her physical health and also her spiritual health. Sorry, I forgot about that. Otherwise, we could have had that in our kneeling prayer. I want to conclude with a verse found in Isaiah 1:18. This is who God is. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And though they be red as crimson, they should be white as wool." You know what white is outside? That's what God came to do through Jesus. These are the foundational truths of the scriptures. Let us unite in the blessings that Moses blessed the children of Israel. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace now and into all eternity. Amen. You may go in the peace of the Lord. God bless you for coming.